Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Revelation chapter 19. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God, for true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and He has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you His servants, and those who fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren, who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh.
Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. we'd all been ready. Children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. A man and wife asleep in bed. She hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill. One disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind.
Lesson 257, Marriage Supper of the Lamb. In our last lesson, we learned about the destruction of Babylon, that corrupt system of religious and economic power during the tribulation. In today's lesson, we come to the end of the tribulation period when God's enemies are judged and Jesus is ready to establish his earthly kingdom, inviting all believers to enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. We have now come to the final section of the book of Revelation. Chapters 4 to 18 were concerned with the 7-year tribulation and the judgments of God upon the ungodly of this world. We said at the beginning of our study in Revelation that the book divides itself into 3 sections: the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. This prophetic view of the future is mostly concerned with the tribulation judgments in order to warn readers to flee from God's coming wrath. However, we are also given the final stages of history, where Christ is established as king over the earth, then a final rebellion which sends all of God's enemies into the lake of fire. Following this great white throne judgment, we are provided a description of the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, with a new heaven and a new earth, where God dwells among men. The book then ends with an invitation for all to drink of the water of life freely, and warning that Jesus is coming soon. The scenes change back to heaven in chapter 19, and a great multitude are heard saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. This praise to God is due to his judgments on the harlot of Babylon, who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and for his avenging the blood of his servants. They also praise God that the judgment upon her is eternal, while they witness her smoke of destruction ascending forever. In heaven, the 24 elders and 4 living creatures fall and worship God, who sits upon the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. A voice is heard from the throne calling for praise to God from his servants and all who fear him, small and great. Then a great thunderous voice from the multitude shouted, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. They rejoice because the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and the wife of the Lamb has prepared herself. The marriage supper of the Lamb is a future event that involves the Lord Jesus and his beloved bride, the Church. After the judgment seat of Christ, where believers are rewarded, and just prior to Christ coming in glory to reign over the earth, is the time when all believers will gather for the official union of Christ with his glorious bride. This special event is the culmination of Christ's eternal plan from eternity past, purchased through his sacrifice at Calvary and the gathering together for himself from all nations a beloved bride, consisting of all believers from the church age. The supper appears to be a feast in heaven celebrating this great and triumphant moment when Christ finally has his bride united with him in heaven. The bride is arrayed in great beauty with fine, clean, bright linen, which is representative of the righteous deeds of the saints. An angel that spoke with John said that he should write about the blessing of those who attend the marriage supper. John wanted to worship this glorious angel, but the angel stopped John and said that he was a fellow servant and only God should be worshipped. Following this, heaven is opened and Jesus is seen coming as the conquering king, riding a white horse. He is called Faithful and True and the Word of God. His eyes were like fire, and he wore many crowns. His robes were dipped in blood, symbolizing his victorious battles in war against his enemies. All his armies from heaven are following him on white horses also, and wearing fine white linen. From the mouth of Jesus comes a sharp sword by which he judges the nations. He is coming to reign with a rod of iron, and will execute God's fierce wrath upon all of God's enemies. His name is written on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. An angel is seen standing in the sun and crying to all the birds of heaven to come and gather for the supper of the great God, so that they can eat the flesh of kings, captains, and mighty men. This is another supper of sorts, where the enemies of God lay dead on the battlefield, having been slain by the wrath of the Lamb, and are now food for the fowls of the air. This scene follows the great battle of Armageddon that precedes the coming of Christ in glory, where all the armies are gathered to destroy the nation of Israel. While the battle is taking place in the valley of Jezreel on earth, Christ is seen in heaven on a white horse, fighting this battle for the defense of his earthly people. At the close of the battle and the commencement of Christ's reign, the false prophet and beast are captured and cast alive into the lake of fire. All God's enemies are destroyed with a sword that came from Jesus' mouth, and the birds ate the flesh of those who died on the battlefield. These future events foretold in Revelation should teach us both fear and hope. We fear the wrath that shall soon fall upon the earth and destroy all who are not in Christ. We may have friends or family that have not yet been saved from God's coming judgment by placing their trust in Christ, and so we fear for their souls. We fear the dreadful scenes of judgment with dead bodies piling up in vast numbers. However, we, as believers, also have this great hope of soon being with our beloved Lord and enjoying the marriage of the Lamb. We shall see him in his glory and be arrayed with his beauty. There is much we do not know about this future day when all believers will be united with their Lord and Master, but we know we shall be made like him with new glorious bodies that shall never see corruption. We shall be granted a place with Christ forever in the glories of heaven, where no sin dwells and God's glory illuminates the entire place. Sorrow, pain, death, and tears shall be all taken away. The scenes of heaven include a river, trees with abundant fruit, gold, precious stones, and plenty of radiant color and thunderous praise to God. I hope this is also your hope. If you want to be part of this great wedding feast someday, then be sure to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." Revelation chapter 19, verse 5.
Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died, the days grew cold, a piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. How could you have been so blind? The Father spoke, the demons died. The Son has come, and you've been left behind.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we learned about the marriage supper of the Lamb and the victory of the King of Kings at the Battle of Armageddon. While we anticipate great joy on the day Christians are joined forever with their Lord, we also ought to fear the coming judgment on this ungodly world. Someone might ask the question, what is meant by the wife making herself ready for the marriage of the Lamb? Jewish customs for marriage involve the bridegroom offering the family of the bride a gift or dowry once the agreement had been made for the giving of their daughter in marriage. This began the betrothal period, similar to an engagement today. The bridegroom then spent a year preparing a place for he and his bride to dwell in. Often, his father would provide him some land, and he would build a suitable dwelling for he and his new bride. When the time came for the bridegroom to collect his bride, he would come with his friends carrying torches at midnight, and as he passed the home of his bride, she and her maids would gather their own lamps or torches and accompany
the entourage to the bridegroom's home. Finally, a wedding feast was conducted at the bridegroom's new home with all the friends and relatives present. The feast would often last for several days. This picture fits well with the imagery of Revelation and the king coming for his bride. He has already gone back to heaven to prepare a place for his bride, and upon returning, he will catch her away to his eternal home. The marriage supper of the Lamb will be that special heavenly occasion when the bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his bride, the church, will be united and all heaven will rejoice together. The bride needs to make herself ready for this special day. Her preparations will certainly include her first coming in faith and obedience to the gospel message. As believers first trust in the Lord Jesus for the salvation of their soul, they are not simply escaping the condemnation of hell, but also preparing themselves to be forever joined with the Lord in heaven for their mutual and eternal joy. The preparations do not, however, stop the moment a person is saved. Next, the believer must live their Christian life, devoting themselves to righteousness and serving Christ faithfully. This will include joining a fellowship of believers where Christians can find their place of service for their Lord and Master. It will also include being a faithful witness for Christ by sharing the gospel with others. It will certainly include acts of worship where we give to the Lord glory by devoting ourselves and our resources to Him and His kingdom. Preparing to meet our King is a lifelong process of devoted service for Christ. All our good works done for Christ will never merit a place in heaven, but done in the spirit of love and service will certainly merit rewards in heaven. The beauty of our dress on that day will be all the faithful service and sacrifices done by believers while living here on the earth. With this in mind, we should pause to consider how well dressed we will be for this important occasion. If we do little for Christ and focus on our gains in this world, then our treasure in heaven will be small. Our dress at the marriage will not be as glorious as it could have been. What are you living for? Are you wanting to have a big house and lots of money stored in the bank here on earth? Or would you rather present to Christ all of your Christian service and the souls you won for Him? When in the glory, we must remember that not all believers will look the same or will be rewarded the same. We shall be grateful for our salvation and we shall bear His glorious image in some measure. But there will be those whose faithfulness and service will provide them with beautiful garments in which to present themselves before their King. He is worthy of our best, and He ought to have from us something that shows our appreciation for the sacrifice He made. Here are a few ideas about what we can do to prepare ourselves for meeting our King at the marriage supper. Number one, learn about the King by reading our Bibles each day. The better we know Him, the better we shall recognize and appreciate all His glories when we meet Him in heaven. Number two, serve Him by sharing the gospel. Perhaps the best thing we can present to Him in that day will be those people whom we have assisted in finding God's salvation. Number three, serve Him in the church by loving God's people and helping them grow in their faith. Jesus died for the church, and the greatest work He gives us is to love and serve His people. Number four, do not waste time foolishly. The days on earth are short, and we cannot afford to waste our time in vain pursuits. Number five, give to the poor. The Lord's heart is always towards the needy, and we reflect His love and bring much delight to His heart when we share with the needs of others. Number six, walk in holiness. The world will try to pull us down to its level and pollute us with the corruptions of sin, but we must work hard to separate ourselves from all that is displeasing to our righteous Lord. Number seven, show gentleness and love to others. This is the character of Christ and will reflect His goodness to others. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24.
Thank you. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student.
Jesus sent me with a stranger, wandering from the full of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed His precious blood. Unto grace how great I dared, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a banner bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave.
If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus.
Take and seal it for thy
Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believer's Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
Struck wonder.